Welcome to the Pro Photographer Interview Series, episode number 16. This is Shamir Young with you from Zenjoyable.com, and I can't wait for you to hear today's interview. Prepare to have your mind blown. Today we talk to Rosh Sillars, Director of Social Media at Synectics Media and owner of the commercial photography firm, The Rosh Group, Inc. He's an instructor at two universities and the author of four books on both digital marketing and photography. That's exactly what we'll be talking about today. Digital marketing as it relates to photography. Okay, seriously, if I'd known this stuff years ago, I could have saved myself so much headache as a budding photographer. So hopefully today, you can pick up some tips and strategies and apply that to your photography business. But before we get started, I just want to urge and encourage you to take a couple seconds and leave an honest review in iTunes about this podcast. I want to know what you think, and of course your input will affect the development of this podcast. So please, please take a moment and just leave a review. Now, without further ado, let's get to the interview. Enjoy. Hi, everybody. I'm chilling with Rosh Sillars, photographer and owner at The Rosh Group and director of social media at Synectics Media. And I'm just so, so excited to pick your brain today, Rosh. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, Rosh is a new media, a social media and digital marketing expert, and I am so pumped to talk about how marketing really fits into photography these days. First of all, Rosh, we really want to learn about you. Give us an overview of yourself and your background. How did you end up where you are today?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, 1960. No. There's been two parts of my life. Mm-hmm. I've been a photographer since high school. And coming out of high school, I was named to one of the top young photographers in the United States and went on to Center for Creative Studies and developed my craft there and just continued that process. But at the same time, right next to me was marketing. And I came out of school with marketing awards too. And I always had marketing and media, and they were always there next to each other. And I've always been a kind of an internet geek too. I like to prove that by I do have Rosh.com. So, you know, I've been around a while. I've been doing this stuff since the very beginning. And so, you know, over time, you know, I've gone back and forth between the two, but I have a studio, but, you know, I have a passion for marketing. And so I've just continued that process and just intertwined the two worlds. And that's what's really led me to where I am today with Synectics Media, supporting them with their social media, but at the same time, doing photography. My work is seen around the world. I've been published, you know, at least 15,000 times, and last count was years ago, and that was at around 10,000. So I'm assuming it's about 15.
Oh,
so it's you know, and great clients, and I love what I do.
And you know, I have to point out that I went to Google this morning and Google Detroit photographer, and you came up as number two. That's really impressive.
Well, I was number one all last year, but me and Blake, Blake Disher, see, I've been kind of like a social media guy for photographers for all these years. I had the unfortunate honor of also living in the same town as the SEO guy for photographers.
Oh, goodness.
That's Blake, and so we go back and forth. I was so proud of myself about a year ago when I passed him, but he got it back, and well-deserved.
I hope you took a screenshot when you were number one. Excellent. Well, first, you know, before we dive into the marketing aspect of this, which, by the way, that's really a killer skill set to have, photography and marketing, because I know many photographers, myself included, where we have struggled with the marketing aspect of our business. Before we get into that, first describe your current photographic style. I saw some very impressive portraits in particular on your website.
Well, thank you. The Rosh.com site, which is what you get Detroit photographers mostly, and I've just updated over the weekend, actually. So if you're interested, anybody listening, head on over there. I put up a lot of new images of Detroit people.
Yes.
And I have great opportunities to photograph, you know, whether it's the mayor or Maddie Maroon, you know, everybody photographs his train station. I got to photograph Maddie. I don't know. Was that really an honor? But the opportunity to meet people and well-known people and photograph them and try to pull some personality out of them and those portraits, I really do enjoy that. I don't know, you know, I'm not heavy-handed when it comes to Photoshop. Mm-hmm. I've been using Photoshop, you know, since, you know, version 2. I have the discs still.
Wow.
Like I said, I am a geek. But I don't feel, you know, that it's necessarily needed these days. Well, I mean, a lot of people have some great styles that use a lot of, you know, a lot of high contrast. And I do a little bit of that once in a while. But, you know, each image, it just depends on the mood, depends on the person. And I guess I wouldn't say I have a specific style that I say that's mine. And maybe that's bad. But I like to go in with a fresh mind, no preset agenda, and just kind of look at the environment, the person, and just create the best image I can.
Mm. And a lot of times that's the best way to go about it, you know, depending on your environment. Yeah, I'm looking at Rosh.com right now, and you have a lovely portrait of our current governor, Rick Snyder.
You know,
recognizable faces like that, that's really quite impressive.
Well, one of the things and one of the reasons that I have a lot of, although I've been, you know, I've been on the presidential trail. I've photographed movie stars and, you know, rock stars and all that. I've done all that stuff. But I don't do a lot of media these days, not like I used to. But I do a lot of work for Corp magazine and a lot of their covers. And so every month I have an opportunity to photograph a new CEO or, you know, what politician or someone making news. And that's been really good to keep that portfolio going. It's always good to have that one client you can build a relationship that gives you great opportunities. And right now that's been a good one. There are obviously other opportunities that come about for different magazines and trade magazines, but it's been a good one, especially for local, for Michigan.
Absolutely. Wow. You know, I feel like I could chat about, you know, making those connections. That's like another interview, another two-hour-long interview.
Well, it is all about people. That's why social media is so important. You know, you really do need to connect with people and develop networks. And mm-hmm. I mean, we talk people. People are the key. You want to talk marketing. People are the key. And social media gives you that opportunity to develop those relationships. It literally has taken me around the world. I mean, I've traveled as far as Australia because of relationships on Twitter to speak. But I also got my book deals through the relationships that I created and developed on Twitter. So, mm-hmm. you know, it is important to network.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that you can't go it alone. You can't be a lone ranger. And, you know, I know some extremely talented photographers, artists, where they struggle because the whole connection piece, they're kind of missing mm-hmm. that. You know, you can't sit by yourself in a corner. Because then no one will know who you are and they won't know your work.
Right. And, you know, a lot of photographers, they love photography. They get into it. They have passion for it. But they didn't get into it so they could be business people.
Right.
To market. And when I went to CCS, I was kind of looked at as, you know, kind of the black sheep of the crowd because I believed in business. I believed, like, you know, God, going to art school, you know, the words, prostituting your art, how dare you, you know, it's like, well, you know what, guess who's the only one left out of my class still shooting, you know, it's the reality. I mean, not the only one, I think there are two or three of us left, but the point being is that if you can't get your work out there, if you're uncomfortable with business, the bottom line is if you want to make a living as a photographer, mm-hmm. you're in business, bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think it's just going to come naturally, no, you're not going to be discovered anymore. Not so much so. You know, people aren't going to just figure it out. If people have to figure it out, you know, you've got a problem. There are too many photographers. There are too many great photographers. I am by far. I come up first, second in Detroit in the listing for photographers from Google. That makes me a lot of money. Am I the best photographer in Detroit? Not at all. Not even close. I won't even try to pretend that. There are tons of great... There are people just getting out of school that can kick my butt. That's fine. But you know what? Most of them don't know how to market, and that's what keeps me employed.
And you know, that really takes us to our next segment of this interview. I'd like to discuss marketing and photography, because I went to the School of Art and Design at U of M, mm-hmm. and wonderful school. I love it. You know, maize and blue pride all the way. But one thing that I've noticed, not just for my graduating class, but in general, is that they don't teach you about marketing and business while you're in school, which is so extremely important. And I think many of us are realizing that a bit late now, you know, coming out of school. And, you know, it's been years for me, but when you learn the hard way, it can take you years to learn it. And so tell us, how does, this is a really loaded question, how does marketing relate to photography?
Well, you know, if you're going to be in the, there's a few ways. Let me just step back a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you're absolutely right about the business and marketing in the schools. But I will say this, that the schools are starting to catch on. I know CCS has a few more business classes now. And I often said, if I'd ever go back to teach there, I'd only want to teach business. But I think they actually have people doing that now. But
excellent.
How does it relate to business? Well, the in marketing, bottom line is, you know, it's photography is telling a story. Mm-hmm. And that's what marketing is. I mean, they go hand in hand. And so whether it's two ways, one, you're part of the marketing process, helping to tell the story, get the word out about something, whether it's branding of element or telling the story of a person or a company, that you have to have that mindset. Or you need to have that marketing skill to be able to get, as we mentioned before, to be able to get people to find you. I mean, you just have to have it. If you're going to be out there to, you want to tell other people's stories, people have to know you want to tell them their stories and share their story. So, I mean, marketing, as far as I'm concerned, I'm in the camp that, you know, everything is marketing. Mm-hmm. Everything you do, whether you do nothing, well, then that's your marketing plan. My favorite thing is when people tell me, oh, I don't do any marketing at all and I'm doing great. Excellent. Well, yes, you were marketing. You chose not to do certain types of marketing, but by you telling me you're not marketing, you know what you're doing? You're marketing. You're marketing with the style saying that I don't market. And that message is that I'm so good that my reputation is so solid that I don't have to market. That's your form of marketing. Mm-hmm. And so everything you do is marketing, whether it's answering the phone or if you're actually out on social media or sending out direct mail or going to shows to show brides your portfolio, whatever it may be, or your methodology that encourages people to refer you. Mm-hmm. And that's marketing too.
Definitely. And I know for a lot of people, you know, the referral is so powerful.
It is.
So very powerful. You know, every interaction that you have with that client from before the photo shoot to during it until after, I mean, that's going to reflect on them. And they will spread that word quickly if you do a wonderful job or a not so wonderful job.
Exactly. And you know, you need to have a plan. How are you going to deal with that referral? Mm-hmm. You know, when someone refers someone to you, what is your plan? Are you going to call them within a certain period of time? Are you going to follow up after their initial phone call or email? What is the plan all the way through to the actual point of getting the job or not? How are you going to ask for that sale? All those things. How are you going to tell your current clients it's okay? Give people permission to refer you. And a lot of people don't do that. They think they're being pushy and all that. No, you know, you can just a few simple things, but develop them out, plan them out, and you'll be okay. But make sure you know what to do with the things that come in. And I think a lot of people don't. It seems like every time they get a lead, they're starting all over again from scratch. And you can't do that.
Definitely. You know, I've learned that the hard way. And I mean, I'm still constantly learning. You know, and you look at the mistakes you've made in the past and kind of knock your head against the wall. I'm like, what was I thinking?
That plenty of times. We all do. And I'm going to make some more boneheaded moves in my career. And I'm going to do some good things. And we all will. And we'll learn. And we continue to, the thing is that a lot of times people will keep doing the same thing, thinking they're going to fix what doesn't work rather than just letting it go and just grab what does work. You know, don't be upset that something didn't work. Just let it go and keep holding on and collecting the things that do work and let go of the things that don't. And eventually you'll have a big old pile of things that do work and your career will be working too versus trying to fix. I mean, imagine that. I mean, would you rather have a pile of things that work because you kept testing and letting go? Or would you still like to be 10 years back, still trying to fix it, you know, because you had an idea, you thought that should work, and you're still trying to fix it 10 years later and going nowhere?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you have to pivot. You really do.
Yeah.
With what works.
Absolutely.
And, you know, on your podcast, I was listening to it this morning. By the way, your podcast is awesome, awesome.
Thank you.
And you mentioned the concept of not being afraid to fail.
Absolutely.
And that really resonated with me because I think so many of us, you know, not just creatives, but anybody who's starting a business, we're kind of afraid to fail, especially in front of other people, be it family or friends. But really, that's the way that we learn. It really is.
It really is. I just have a whole bunch of failures I'm so proud of. And I know the things that, I mean, I'm telling you embarrassing stuff. I mean, I've made, we were talking before we went on about my podcast, mm-hmm. and how the name changes and all those things. Those were failures. Those were things that I tried and did. I mean, my cornerstone, you know, people know me from all over from this podcast, and I'm tinkering with it. I'm changing it, and I'm making mistakes. And not only that, probably even losing, you know, listeners at times. But you know what? It can't be the same as it was when I first started, you know, all those years ago. Mm. It can't be. I have to make those tests and do those things. And the same with my photography. I mean, I try new styles and new things. And you know what? Sometimes it, you know, fortunately, it doesn't happen as much today. But there were certainly times in my past over these 25 years that that was a bad decision, and that client didn't look very good, and they weren't very happy with what I did. Mm. And, you know, but let's go back to this. I had a plan. Going back to that marketing, you mess up, what do you do? I had a plan, and I took care of it, and 90% of the time, I'm able to fix it. So the point being is, you know, you're going to make those mistakes, just like you said. Don't be afraid of them, and you'll be much more successful for it.
Absolutely. And the most successful people, you'd be astounded at how many times they failed. They fail more than the person who, I guess some people may be proud to say, I haven't failed much, but you'll often find they haven't tried many things if they haven't failed.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So that makes me feel better, and it lets me know that I'm on the right track. So that definitely helps.
Alone.
Excellent. Now on your other website, roshsillers.com, you talked about the concept of our own personal combination codes. I found this so fascinating. Could you discuss that for us?
Yeah. You know, the combination code is kind of my thing that I'm just kind of moving forward with. I'm hoping it's my next book or two. And what it is, it came out of, actually, I did the ASMP, American Society of Media Photographers, a Strictly Business tour in 2011. And I was talking with the president at the time, Richard Kelly, and we're just talking about things. I said, you know, I've noticed something as I'm talking to photographers, because photographers would pay to consult with me. And some of these photographers are people, you know, I would kill to have this portfolio. It's like, you're talking to me? It's like, you want my advice? What am I going to do for you? You travel the world. You photograph for all these big magazines. You know, Nike's your client. You know, what am I going to do for you? But you know, I would go through and I'd talk to some photographers, and some say, oh, I have no connections to anybody. The glory days are gone. I don't know what to do. And other photographers say, oh, I'm doing all right. Everything's going all right. And I would start to, you know, figure out what it was. And I discovered they had an and. And that and was, they were today, that and is, they're a photographer and a writer, or a photographer and a videographer, a photographer and they had something that was a little bit different that people could see it separated them from the competition. And that way, if they weren't competing with everyone, they were just competing with maybe a smaller niche of people who, mm-hmm. you know, need that service. Now, you could create a combination code 10, 15 years ago. A combination of really small niche. And say, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you created that niche, but in Detroit, maybe there are only 3 people that could actually hire you or even want to use it. Hmm. But today, because of digital marketing and social media, you can find those 3 people in Detroit. You can find the 6 in New York, the 3 in Kentucky, the 12 in LA, and the 2 in Miami. And now you have a career. So you don't have to depend. And I think photographers say, as you may be aware, that destination weddings are huge now and mm-hmm. becoming more popular. That's because I think, this is my own theory, is that because, you know, photographers have to think regionally. And wedding planners had to think regionally because the competition was so huge. But we also could connect together and make a destinational planning situational easier. We could find the right people in another part of the country a little bit easier. But the bottom line is, today as a photographer, to survive, you really need to think regionally, nationally, or internationally, depending on the type of work you're doing. And because you need to have that special thing that separates you from the competition. And, you know, it can be technology, it can be a creative style, it can be a number of things that you can combine. For me, in 2007, my combination was combining social media and photography. And I was one of the first people really to do that and go out there and, you know, spread the gospel of social media to photographers and starting to and to travel and all that. So I got in early in that game with that combination, and it's worked well, and it's actually proving out to work well in terms of my career. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even new businesses that I'm developing that will have a specialty combination of photography and marketing, and that those are my next steps.
Very good. You actually beat me to the punch. I was going to ask about your own creative code, your own combination code.
Yeah. You know, it's, you're always, again, testing and trying new things. I'm developing a new company that the papers have just been signed called Image 3 Marketing. And really, it's the whole concept. I'm also certified by Google, so AdWords, and I'm continuing my other certifications down the road too. But that certification, you know, I'm able to use my skills in photography as well as, you know, digital advertising, because photography, and I think a lot of photographers need to understand this, you know, they have a lot of power. Images help convert. Images help sell, and they mm-hmm. need to get that story out there to help sell their photography. And that's what I'm doing with this combination. Saying, I'm not only are we going to market your company using digital advertising, whether it's, you know, buying AdWords or display ads online or Facebook ads, whatever it may be, but we're going to use great images. Then we're going to test those images. We're going to find the right combination of those images, and we're going to use them on landing pages and in the ads, and then we're going to help people drive people through with your message using imagery. Mm. And so that's kind of my combination code next step, really combining those things and developing a really good system.
Excellent. You know, I've never heard of this concept, but it makes so much sense. Now, there may be some photographers listening who say, well, I have no idea what my and would be. I consider myself a photographer, but I have no idea what that other component would be. What would be the first step that they would need to take to help figure that out and incorporate that into their photography business?
That is an excellent question. Let me start off with it can't be. It can't be how long you've been in business. Nobody really cares. It can't be your customer service. You know what? I can say how cool I am all day long, but that just goes pretty hollow and flat really quickly. You can't tell people how cool you are. Only other people can tell people how cool you are and how great you are. And so you need to stop saying that. Let other people do that. Mm-hmm. So your customer service, how good you are, how long you've been in business, and here's a big one, how cheap you are. If you use any of those, you're going out of business quickly, because those aren't the combinations you want. I mean, if you're going to race, you know, work on the race to the bottom with pricing, and I know I can hear those photographers too yelling at me, but the competition to competition, that's what the combination code is for, because when you can find that right combination, then competition is not as relevant, because they want you, because you do that one thing well. You are the best. Maybe there are a couple other people, but at least you're in the running. If you're just like everybody else, then yeah, you got to be a commodity and just be the lowest priced person if that's the way you got to go, because you're not doing anything special outside of anyone else. So you got to base it on price. Do some people not care? Absolutely. There are a lot of people who don't care. Just give me a photographer, cheapest price. Fine. Those aren't my clients. Mm-hmm. And because here's the thing, when those people hire you, the cheapest one, they're not very loyal. So you got the job, you did it cheap, you didn't help your industry at all, didn't help yourself much at all, because now they're going to, chances are they're going to refer you.
So true. So true.
To other people that want cheap photography or free photography, because they heard you did this free event over here and they need someone to do a free event too. So now you've done two free events. Excellent. That's paying the bills. So you really think about what you're doing in those situations. But here's a good bit of advice. I don't want to be a big old jerk about all this. We all have to make those decisions. Let me come out clean with something. Corp Magazine. I have a great deal with them. I have a deal with them that it's not a lot of money or anything like that. I have a specific deal. I won't share what the deal is with them, but I have a deal with them that is not standard. Why? Because look at my portfolio on the front page. Mm-hmm. You know, value of that is so high. So you need to decide what the value of why you're doing that. Now, a one-time name underneath the photograph in a brochure somewhere is useless. Don't even go there. But don't fall for the it'll be good for exposure. No, it won't. No, we'll pay attention. Only if you're consistent, like you're in our magazine every week or in the newspaper every day. Yeah, then start to get your name. One time means nothing. But if you do something inexpensive, like for a charity, some, you know, your friends, you're doing a fundraiser, they're asking you to do it. It's like, look, we only have $50. And you say, well, you know, I like you people. I want to do it. This is what you do. You bill them anyway for the full amount and then give them a discount that leaves $50. This way, they know what your value is. If the value of that evening photographing was $750, then you give them a discount of $700 and they pay $50. Because if you don't do that, how much does it cost for you for the evening? $50. And that's what they're going to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. This way, at least they're going to tell people, well, you know, for the evening, this photographer costs like $750. They're really good, obviously. But, you know, they gave me a discount of $750. So they'll brag about that. And, you know, but it'll also let everybody know what your true value is. So that's the better way to go about it. Make sure you know what your costs are and make sure you know how much you really need to charge for everything. Because otherwise, you know, there are a lot of people, you know, who are, you know, maybe shooting a lot, but they wonder why they're still not making any money because, you know, they're not even covering their expenses.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a pretty common. And I know, look, I know, you know, this guy here who's been, you know, shooting for 25 years and blah, blah, blah. You know, I've heard it all. You know, he doesn't understand how hard it is for us starting out. And it's like, look. It's the same. I don't give that to anybody because my co-author Lindsay Adler is one of my favorite stories. She 1 year out of we wrote the Link Photographer's Guide to Online Marketing and Social Media together. She was 25 when we wrote that, and she 1 year out of school decided that she wanted to help photographers and travel the country and in the world, you know, teaching photography. And you know what? She knocked on the doors and you know what they said? No, you've got to be kidding me. You're out of school. What do you want to do? She also wanted to write a book too. And so she finally knocked on a door and they said, oh, all right, do your lighting demonstration. And she did it. And then she went to another conference or event and said, hey, I spoke over here. I can speak over here too. You know, you mind if I speak? Oh, you spoke over there? Yeah, you can speak with us. And just kept, you know, she just kept knocking on the doors. And of course, then she wants to write a book. She knocks on the door. Hey, I'd like to write a book. You want to what? You've been for 2 years now. You want to what? And the publishers are all saying no. Eventually, she got in connection with a mutual friend of ours, John Harrington out of Washington, D.C., who wrote one of the biggest business books for photographers and said, hey, will you refer me to, you know, your publisher? I want to write a book on social media. And so, you know, he referred her and they said, we'll give you a shot. And I was writing the same book that summer, except I didn't have a publisher at the time. She met me in New York. She wanted to meet me among some other people at Photo Plus Expo. And she had just all this energy. And I didn't know she was writing a book. But later on, she said, hey, can I interview you for the book? I'm like, oh, what's the book about? And I find out it's basically my book. And but it turns out, you know, I could have been mean to her. I could say, you're writing my book, and how dare you? I have all this experience, and you're only 25 or whatever. And, you know, no, I was gracious, and I said, of course. I'd be happy to be a part of your book. And it turns out that her co-author really didn't know anything about social media, so the publisher fired him.
Oh, my goodness.
And she said, she told the publisher, said, you better find something. This book is on deadline. And she's like, well, I know Rosh Sillars. I bet he'll help us. And so she tweeted me and said, hey, what are you doing? And that's how we got our first book going. I said, absolutely. So I called the publisher. They knew who I was. And off we went. And we got it out in 8 weeks.
Oh.
But today, this was not about me and my first book. It's about Lindsay. Lindsay, again, she's like 28 now. She's a rock star. And I remember sitting and we did a speech together in Washington, D.C., and we're going, and she's like, she's wondering how she's going to pay the bills. She just, you know, but she kept pounding the door, kept knocking. I mean, she just got back from, actually, I think she's, you know, she just got back from Dubai,
oh,
you know,
my
with
goodness.
Zach Arias and all those guys. You know, she's travels the world. She does covers of magazines now. This is all in just a few years. She's still in her 20s because she took that initiative. So, I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't matter how old you are. You don't have to pay the dues. You just have to be hungry and do what it takes and keep knocking and keep embracing what works.
Wow. Kudos to Lindsay for really stepping up and hustling and doing what she had to do.
She's a great inspiration.
And so then would you say that her particular combination code would be as well photography and social media then?
That's a great question. I think her combination code more is in her style, in her photography, and the combination of the drive she has. I mean, this is one where drive is your combination. Hmm. Your ability to not take, just ignore no. I mean, I remember the last time I talked to her about her sponsors, that, I mean, this was maybe 2-3 years ago, she had 12 sponsors, and that's because she kept knocking on the doors.
Wow.
You know, she did some things I was unwilling to do. I didn't want on sponsors. I didn't want to knock on the door for sponsors. I didn't want to be controlled. I had, you know, family, you know, and I didn't want to be on the road nonstop like she is. She is 20-something. So she should be on the road nonstop. I like being on the road every, you know, every two or three times a month, you know, do a speech and come home. Mm-hmm. And I could see family. I was unwilling to take on those sponsors who then said they had 6 events, you know, in the next 6 weeks that they need you to be there. Mm-hmm. But now we go to WPPI and her name, you know, and photos are in lights.
Ah.
And it's amazing. But that's all because she took that. And so what I'm saying is anybody can do it, but you have to have that, you know, I say that anybody can do it. Yeah, obviously she took on a lot, but she didn't let anyone who said no to her was the thing you let go of and embrace the people that, and that's what I did in terms of my speaking career and my books. I embraced the people that were helping me and letting go. I wasn't going to try and convince people who didn't like me or like my work. It's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So for the photographers listening today, then step number one would just be to go and do it, or just to get started.
Get started. Define what makes you different.
Hmm.
Develop, embrace that. And remember, you are in business. You are in business. You have to develop a plan. Have a rate sheet. Don't keep making it up every time someone calls you. Have a list, and especially those things you're not so sure you don't do a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's little jobs people call. He's like, wow, you know, have a list of the things you do. And if somebody's really, if you're really interested in one of the ways that I've really made a good living, go to roshtillage.com and look up per image pricing. That will be, there's an area that I think will help a lot of people. Get away from hourly and day rates. Get away from that. The only place that really kind of works is in, say, event photography. But the rest of it, don't do it. I mean, you're going to be shortchanging yourself every time. You're putting the value on your time versus your craft. And you'll lose every time.
Rosh, where were you years ago? I could have used this. Actually, you were around years ago. I just didn't know about you. I'm kicking myself. And I'm sure many people are as well, because, I mean, your tips would have saved us so much heartache in the past and just learning the hard way. I mean, I really, what you're saying makes so much sense. I love it.
Thank you. And you know what? Just think of it this way. Hopefully we're helping some other people just getting out there. So
that's right. Next, let's talk about the lessons that you've learned over the years, or the lessons that people need to learn. What's the most common mistake you see professional photographers making today in regard to their business?
Well, you know, going back to that image pricing thing, that was a big one. I think really is just not understanding business. I mean, it's supply and demand, and that's the bottom line. And guess what? There are a heck of a lot of photographers out there. Only that you're competing with everyone's cell phone too.
Oh,
so there are a lot of photographers you're not even going to get. You have to make yourself desirable, and you have to create something that people want. And you also have to understand how much it really costs to run your business. You know, add everything up. I mean, insurance, everything, how much you want to make, and then divide it up based on how many jobs you had last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You say, well, I only had 5 jobs last year. Well, guess what? Divide it. You know, or make it 25. You know, say, okay, my goal for next year is 25 jobs. Well, how much do you want to make? What are all your jobs? You know, then you're going to get a big old shock. You're going to say, wow, I have to charge that much to make a living? Yeah. What were you charging before? Not quite enough. And I don't mean to on the whole money charge, you know, thing, but it really is some basic finances that I think really hurt a lot of photographers, and they feel like they haven't been, you know, no one's really shown them, you know, or even talk business with them. They're just like, I just need to get a job. I need to get experience. I need to get my foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share this. And this is, I think, leads more to your question. You know, I have people that call me that have seen my work on billboards, seen my work in magazines. And the only reason they call me, they like me. They're nice people. They only call me for free charity events.
Hmm.
Because that's offered 20 years ago. That's what I did with them.
Mm-hmm.
In years ago just to get my foot in the door that, you know, I'm thinking, all right, you know, get my foot in the door with this agency, these people, I'm going to be great. No, now I'm the free charity guy. So in years later, still the free charity guy. Oh yeah, he does great billboards, great magazine work, all that, but we use them for this free charity. You know? And but here, remember this. Here's two things. One's dealing with copyright, and the other one is dealing again with, you know, pricing yourself. You know, if you go in to get your foot in the door cheap, think of it from the other direction. You're an art buyer, a marketing director, and I know this isn't covering, say, me. A lot of people are doing weddings and portraits and things like that in this situation. I'm coming more from a commercial angle on this okay. conversation. But here's the thing. If you go in there to be cheap and you, how do I put this? You go in there to be cheap and you look at it from their point of view. Okay, great. You did a great job, is cheap, is inexpensive. Hey, I may use you again for another cheap job. Now, you that same art director, marketing person, business owner who needs whatever it is done, but this is a big job. This is huge. This is important. This is going to make their career. Are they going to hire the cheap photographer?
Mm.
Are they going to go hire the expensive photographer?
Oh, they're going to go.
Really?
Yeah, the expensive one, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you may be better than that expensive photographer, but they have confidence in the expensive photographer.
Oh, that's right.
And I would think the same goes for weddings, too. You know, if you are the cheap photographer, well, my daughter's not going to have a cheap photographer. My daughter's going to have $1,000 because they are the best, because that's who my daughter deserves. So, you know, same on all those levels. And so, let's just talk briefly, you know, the copyright. I'm not going to beat up people too much on this, but here's the bottom line. Your copyright, as soon as you click the shutter, you're the proud owner of a copyright. It is valuable. And here's the thing. Just remember these words. If your copyright was not valuable, why is everybody working so hard to get it?
Hmm.
Don't think that just because you know, maybe you're young in the business. Oh, I won't need this. My copyright's not valuable. No, you need to pay for it in some way. I have very few clients that actually purchase the copyright. I have a couple, but there are good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The payment and or they're, you know, maybe a decent amount, but it's consistent. And they need it to resell it. The only time someone needs your copyright is if they're going to resell your image. There's no other way. And so it's good to maybe just work with people, find out what their pain point. Maybe they got burned. Maybe they need to make sure something's not published. You know, who knows what it is. Find out what it is and, you know, just work with them. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You just have to kind of let them know that, you know, that's how you make your living. So
definitely, definitely. And, you know, even the point you made about pricing and how you should not necessarily price yourself as a cheap photographer, I think that's so pertinent to Michigan as well, where we live. But, you know, I'm sure it's many more states because cheap photographers are, you know, a dime a dozen, pardon the expression, but they're out there and they're everywhere. And I think especially when you're first starting out, you do feel that pressure to compete with them, but that definitely backfires. And I've been in that situation many times where I'll kind of do a cheap photo shoot, you know, as a favor. And then that person comes back and they're expecting that again.
Yep.
Or they've gone and they've told someone else, and all of a sudden I'm pigeonholed into this cheap rate that will not allow me to, you know, make a living or pay bills. And then you kind of look like a jerk when you try to raise your price up to what your actual value is, and they think all of a sudden that you're trying to cheat them out of money.
Right. Exactly right. That's again why I like the per image pricing. I've even done per image pricing for weddings, believe it or not.
Wow.
I mean, it worked out pretty well. I mean, the point being is you put the value on the image. Hey, let me give you my example that I like to use. And again, I do a lot of commercial and media work, so that's a lot of where my experience comes from. I mean, I have not done weddings a lot, and I've done well over 100 weddings, but, you know, plus, but that's in my past more so. But so I have experience in that arena, but most of my stuff these days is commercial. But one of my favorite examples is, you know, if someone came to me and said they needed 10 images for their website, and I said to them, well, it's $1,500 a day plus $500 for expenses, what are they thinking? Is this person worth $1,500 a day?
$1,500
a day? I'm not going to pay this guy to snap a picture. You've got to be kidding me. So, let's say you get done at noon. You did a good job. You got all 10 done. You got done at noon. Now what do they want?
Well, they're going to want some money back.
It's only half a day. You know, you're not going to charge me a whole day for this. Got to be. That's it. I came back, said, okay, you want 10 images. How about $200 an image? Okay, that's a little easier, and it's all inclusive. $200. That's the same amount. 10 images, right? That's $2,000. Now I put the value on the image, not my time. Now let's say we get done at noon. What do they want? Well, hey, they're happy. We got done early today. Good job, Rosh. And these are great images. Now, let's say it was a day rate again. Let's say, wow, they came up, you know, maybe you're doing portraits and four more people came in. Can you take more these people? We've got time. Can you take these additional? Oh, yeah. No. All right. You've taken more people. Did you get paid more? No. No, but you do have more work in the processing.
Oh, I've been there. But if you yes.
so you got 14 shots for your day. Now, if you did per image pricing, you know, you're it's 2 o'clock and say, hey, four more people came in. Oh, okay. Can you shoot those? Yeah, no problem. It's another $800, you know. And if, do they care that it's going to cost them? No, they know the value of each image. They know what it is, and they select those images later. There's no obligation for them to pick all 14. Maybe those they're just being nice to those 14 people. Only they only wanted two of them, so I got an extra two out of it. Who knows? I mean, there's so many different scenarios. So basically, with those extra four people, I made $2,800 versus $2,000 for the day. See what I'm saying? It's always based, and they weren't mad because of that. You know, if I tried to charge them more because of the day rate and four more people came to say, hey, that's not fair. You know, now they're going to think I'm a big jerk.
Right, right. And the more efficient that you become, the quicker that you can finish it in the first place. And so it makes sense. Charging per image, they're happy to get their images, you know, and quicker as opposed to charging a day rate, you kind of suffer. But when you become more efficient because you finish earlier and then, you know, they think that you should take some money off of the price since it's a day rate.
Exactly.
Totally.
It's the digital age. We can shoot so much faster. You know, I do interiors. You know, you used to have to, you know, cover the light bulbs and, you know, it'd take, you know, half a day just to set up a room. You know, now, you know, we get these things cranked out so quick it's not even funny. And I can go through a whole house in a few hours take a whole day. So it's just not efficient to use a day rate. The day rate is something of the past. You know, when it did just, you're stuck. You knew you're going to shoot. It's going to, you got to be able to set. You got to do that. You got to do correct the lighting and all this on set. It's going to take a day, you know? And so they got used to creating day rates because everything took a day. Everything took a day. It didn't matter how big or small. Not in that age anymore. And you can certainly make a lot more when you put the value on the image, and then people will buy more. Because if you do a great job, and this is what has really made my career, when you do a good job, people are willing to pay for it. I mean, my day rate can average, very honestly, just because of the per image pricing, you know, $2,800 to $3,500 a day. And it's not because I'm anything special. It's purely because people, I do a good job and I show them, you know, their opportunity and they see the value in each image and there you go. And they select them. They are in charge. Now, here's the thing. People say, yeah, but, you know, you could do a shoot and, you know, do you make them buy certain? See, for me, I say there's no risk. That's one of my combinations. No risk. I can shoot all 10 images and you don't have to buy one of them. Confidence in my photography. It is very rare, maybe once a year, maybe twice, that someone doesn't buy all of the images. Most of the time, though, it's extremely rare, maybe every 3 years, someone decides they don't want any images. But here's the thing. If they don't have to buy them, say, hey, wow, did this shoot just go wrong? Or did we go it wrong? Yeah, you know, someone else saw them higher up and you know, they weren't happy with their shoot. So let's redo it. Let's redo it, you know, and get it right. And they're happy to do that versus them thinking, you know, they're watching the clock. We don't have more time to do it. We're paying this guy no matter what. I don't want an unhappy client. I'd rather redo the shoot and have a happy client than saying, hey, you promised me a day rate. I don't care if someone came along later and, you know, didn't like the work, you know. Me, you know, no, I don't want that. I don't want people talking about me like that. I want to make sure that it's right. But most of the time it is. And if they want 5 shots, quite often they buy 6, you know, it's very common. And so that the combination of all that over time makes up by far any time somebody says, no, I don't like all the shots. I only want 8 instead of 10.
Oh, golden nuggets of truth right there. I mean, so many photographers, it's probably one of the most common struggles. How the heck, you know, do we price our work? And so I'm so glad actually that you took time to discuss that for our listeners, because that absolutely makes a difference, you know, in the short term and the long term as well.
Yeah, you just have to, you know, decide on the production and you know, what again, go through the process of understanding how much it costs you. And really, you know, the day rate is an internal number. How much do I need to be making a day per shoot? That's an internal number when you're trying to figure out the per image pricing. But it is different. You know, I've charged as little as 50, like friends and family. Here's a great one. We talk about the friends and family thing. Mm-hmm. I'll charge you $25 a photo. But here's the thing, and this is true even with whether it's a bride and groom or it's a, you know, a corporate client. They have a budget. And if you say per image pricing, they'll use it all. You know? So if your friend says, hey, could you take a couple pictures? Sure. You know, how about $25, you know, per selected image? Oh, okay. That's very reasonable. Great. Well, they had $200 in their pocket. They liked them all. And they gave you all $200, you know, instead of just the $50 you were going to offer them before. You know, so in other words, don't decide how much they have. Let them decide how much they're willing to give you. So you'll be surprised quite often if you do a good job, it's more.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Wow.
So friends and family too.
I like that. I'm going to have to use that because that's something that I've, you know, been trying to figure that out.
But,
wow.
I mean, sure, if you gave them a really good deal, but you know, if they have the money, they'll buy more.
Awesome. Next, Rosh. Now, in your opinion, tell us why are some photographers more successful with their photography business than others?
Well, I think it goes back to the very beginning of what we were talking about of, you know, understanding they're in business. And once you understand you're in business, you can run your business, you know, your photography business as a business, and that will help you become more successful. You'll get out there, you'll market, you become a part of the community. You help other photographers too. Social media is a great place to develop your name. It certainly has helped me, especially on a national and international level. It's been huge for me. And the more your name can be a part of the conversation, the higher your value will be, say, when you develop your own style. You know, people start hopefully referencing you as the creator, you know, someone who photographs like this or that. I mean, yes, that takes time. But, you know, don't be afraid of people liking what you do. Don't be afraid, especially in this age. Don't, you know, we're talking copyright earlier, but don't be such a, just 'cause somebody wants to try your style, don't be mad at them. You know, you know, if somebody wants to promote what you're doing or share what you're doing, let them. You know, that's an important thing. But be out there. Remember, it's all about people, and keep the flow going. Keep shooting. You know, the best. I did see something out there, and maybe you saw this too. They kind of did a study on the most successful photographers.
Oh no, I haven't seen that.
Proclaim, you know, marketing all day long and business all day long. But you know what? Actually, the most successful photographers are the ones that photograph a lot every day, continuously. Those are the people that tend to be the most successful. They're always shooting. You know, you have a week off or nothing's going on. You know, you don't sit home and watch TV. You don't, you know, do anything else. You get out there and you start photographing, because that's how you develop those new styles and those new experiences, is by just being out there and trying new things. My studio mate does this all the time. He will go out, you know, I remember a week or two ago, he had nothing going on. He's really bummed about it. So you know what he did? He called up a couple models and a couple assistants and said, hey, we're going to go shoot. We're going to go have a good time. And when they go do that, they come back with great stuff, and quite often it ends up on their, you know, in their portfolio, that also can lead to more jobs.
Very good. Now, next, tell us, is there a particular resource, a tool, a book, service that you would recommend to our listeners today?
Resources. You know, on the business side, American Society of Media Photographers is really a good place to go. That's ASMP.org. They have a blog that I also contribute to called Strictly Business. I highly recommend that. Obviously, you know, the self-plug, roshsillers.com. It's a great place to get podcasts as well as posts that I'll share. I have over 700 posts there. So a lot of information from through the years, such as the pricing conversation and business and social media, all that stuff. I address all that stuff over at roshsillers.com.
Excellent. And how many podcast episodes do you have at this time?
Well, for roshsillers.com, 284.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, quite a few, more than a few. It's an excellent resource.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. you very much. If linked photographer's guide to online marketing, social media, some of the social media stuff is, you know, a little bit older because it was released in 2010, but a lot of the basic concepts that I talk about, business concepts, developing a solar system and separating yourself from the competition, that stuff is in there. And if anybody listening is a Rebel fan, likes to shoot Rebels, I wrote the book on the T5i and the T4i for Wiley. So if you're looking for some insight into your Rebels and how to take better pictures, there's a couple more plugs for you.
Oh, man. Cool. So cool. Well, last but not least, tell us, and I think you did, I think you just mentioned this a bit, but reiterate one more time. Tell us where we can find you or if people want to get in touch with you.
On Twitter is a great place. That's kind of my social media spot, at Rosh Sillars. That's my Twitter handle. RoshSillars.com, of course, and Rosh.com is my portfolio site. And, of course, if you want to reach me direct, it's pretty easy. It's my name is my email, Rosh@Rosh.com.
It doesn't get any easier than that. Excellent. Well, thank you again, Rosh, for just taking time out of your day to just share your knowledge and expertise with us. We really, really appreciate it.
My honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me.